Welcome to the Licking County Locker Room on Kate 98.7. Live at Ship Brothers Brewing, tonight's show is brought to you by Shamrock Printing, Licking Memorial Health Systems, Par Excellence STEM Academy, Buckeye Valley Equipment, Lashley Tractor Sales, Desserts Bakery, Wright Brothers Power Equipment, and Ship Brothers Brewing. Here's Brian Mays with the Licking County Locker Room on Kate 98.7.
And a pleasant good Monday evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Licking County Locker Room, live from Ship Brothers Brewing. Here on Kate 98.7, another gorgeous night here in Licking County. Come on down to 23 West Church Street and get yourself some great food, some great drinks. It's already getting pretty packed in here, and everybody having a good time on this beautiful Monday night. Temperatures in the mid-70s. Hard to believe that we're almost to November, but we're not there yet. We've got one more week to go of the high school football regular season. Then we've also got postseason starting up for fall sports as well. And tonight we will be featuring Utica High School as our team of the week. We'll be talking football and volleyball this evening from Utica right here on the Licking County Locker Room. But let's recap week number 9 this past Friday night with high school football. And we'll start with our game right here on Kate 98.7. It was the Battle of Broad Street in Pataskala between Watkins Memorial and Licking Heights. Both teams trying to make a final season push to maybe make a chance for a league championship and get into postseason play. But we started with the news of Jake Lapinto, who's been banged up and not playing for Licking Heights. He got the start for Heights. That seemed to motivate them. But right away, though, Watkins said, oh, that's nice, he's playing, but we're going to take the ball down the field. And on fourth and goal from the one-yard line on the opening possession for the Warriors, they hit pay dirt on fourth down and goal. And it's a handoff to the fullback. I do not see a signal. I think he could be short. Warriors are saying touchdown, but no signal from the official until now. Roscoe Pascal was the fullback in that play, and he did just sneak in. There was a lot of controversy on that. The point after was no good, and it was 6-0 Watkins. Licking Heights then went 3-and-out. The Warriors got the ball back, and they wasted no time with the Ohio State recruit taking it to Pater. Here's the handoff to Richards on the left side, and he cuts it back upfield. Here he goes, 40, midfield, 40, fifth gear. I don't think anybody's going to get him. It's a house call. Jaden Ricketts, just like that, 74 yards officially to the house, and Watkins goes up 12-0. Got a two-point conversion from JoJo Tolliver. That made it 14-0 after the explosive run by Jaden Ricketts. And then Licking Heights used a couple of pass plays to get deep into Watkins territory with their fourth-string quarterback, J.J. Shackelford, and then their star running back decided he wanted to get into the end zone. First and goal. And here's Olalani trying to get to the right side. Breaks one tackle, and touchdown, Hornets! Right back in this one. Two unbelievable catches, and then Olawani takes it along the right sideline for pay dirt. And just like that, we've got a ball game. 8 yards was the touchdown run. The point after, no good. It was 14-6. Licking Heights was able to add a couple of field goals, and it was just a 14-12 ball game at halftime. Then Licking Heights fumbled the kickoff in the third quarter. Watkins recovered, but they threw an interception, and Licking Heights had the ball at the 45-yard line, but the Watkins defense stood tall and did not allow anything to happen. And then finally, the Watkins offense got back in gear and was able to get into the end zone one more time. From the 18 of Licking Heights, first and 10, triple I, inside handoff, and a big hole up the middle, getting inside the 10, still going, and it's going to be a house call, Roscoe Pascal, his second touchdown of the night. Right up the gut, and was able to break four tackles getting into the end zone, and that gave Watkins a 21-12 lead. Then they just kept continuing ground and pound until they decided to go right to the airways with Drew Samsel. Third down and 7, Samsel to throw. Looks over the middle. He's got a man. Touchdown, John Apel. Great throw that time by Samsel for the house call for the Warriors, which probably will seal it with 6:09 to play in the fourth quarter and up 27-12. Got the two-point conversion, and they go on to a 36-18 victory. The Warriors, 349 yards on the ground in getting the victory, their third straight after starting with six straight losses. So they improved to 3-6, and Licking Heights falls to 3-6, unable to get the trophy back for the Battle of Broadway. Granville looked to get back on the winning side, and they took care of Zanesville by a final of 45-0 to move to 8-1 on the season and 3-1 in the LCL Buckeye, as they were able to get three turnovers early in the ballgame, which led to touchdowns. Beckett Long had a couple of scores. Caden Rosenthal and Theo Talbot also added a rushing score apiece for the Blue Aces. They also got a field goal from Bodie Shopes to take a 32-0 lead at halftime, and then Long with a couple of touchdown passes to Noble Terrible in the third quarter. Jackson McMillan threw a pass to Patrick McCourty for a score in the fourth quarter. So everyone had their eyes then on Licking Valley. Would they stay unbeaten in the LCL Buckeyes? They traveled to Mount Vernon to take on the Yellow Jackets, and they were able to pull away and get a 48-14 win to clinch at least a share of the Buckeye Division title. Cam Walker got a 12-yard touchdown run on the opening possession, and Licking Valley just went ahead and took care of it. Brody Rogers, how efficient a night did he have throwing the football? 16 of 18 for 277 yards, which is a career high, two touchdowns, and Trenton Marcus helping out on the ground. 18 carries, 139 yards, and three scores, as the Panthers had 514 yards of total offense. Nine different receivers caught passes as well. So Valley moves to 8-1 and 4-0 in the LCL Buckeye. They will play Watkins Memorial Friday night at Randy Boffman Stadium to clinch the title outright, and we'll have that for you right here on Kate 98.7 with the pregame at 6:45 and the kickoff at 7 p.m. Newark Catholic got its first win of the season as they took care of Lakewood 48-14 in the LCL Cardinal. Lakewood started out good as freshman running back Luca Vines had a 59-yard touchdown run to put the Lancers up 7-0. The Green Wave came right back with a 13-play drive, capped off by a 7-yard touchdown run by Jackson Broyles. Then the punt was blocked after the Lancers went 3-and-out. It was recovered by Newark Catholic. Broyles added a 1-yard touchdown run and made it 14-7. Before the quarter ended, quarter number one, Jackson Holman, playing quarterback, had a 9-yard touchdown run. Then Broyles had a 50-yard pick six, making it 27-7. And then a fumble by the Lancers set up Holman with a 15-yard touchdown run, and it was 37 at halftime. And that does pretty much sewed it up for Newark Catholic to get their first victory. Holman had a great game, 17 carries, 162 yards, and Broyles added 16 carries and 109 yards. Both teams are now 1-8, and now Newark Catholic 1-3 in the lead. The Lancers still looking for their first victory. It was 22-8 early at Northridge as the Vikings took command against Heath, but then the Bulldog team woke up and scored 14 points in the final two quarters and broke away for a 50-22 victory in LCL Cardinal play. Connor Corbett had a pair of 2-yard touchdown runs. Also, Ja'Kai Royster from 15 yards out, Camden Stevens from 20, Tyler March 53, and Braden Gibson 2 yards. All were touchdown runs, and Joshua Jones took it to the house on a pitch six for 69 yards as the Bulldogs have won their third straight, moving to 4-5 and 3-1. In LCL Cardinal play. Johnstown defeated Utica 28-7 on Friday to get a share of first place in the LCL Cardinal. We'll talk more about this game coming up with Utica head coach Charlie Rowley. Utica got the lead 7-0 on their opening possession, but then Johnstown was able to tie it, and then a couple of interceptions and touchdowns late to pull away for the victory to move to 28-7 for the victory, and now 8-1 overall in clinching a postseason berth in Division 5, Region 18. Leading the way, Sam Marisat, their quarterback, had 17 carries for 137 yards. Nana Owusu, 100 yards rushing on 21 carries. Hayden Piper led the way for Utica, 146 yards rushing, and also threw for 118 yards as well. The Newark Wildcats have a winning season. It's the first time since 2005, and they did it in exciting fashion, defeating Reynoldsburg at Reynoldsburg 21-20. Drayson Peterson caught the game-tying touchdown pass from 32 yards out from Bodie Smith, and then it was the extra point by Sean Brettville, which was the difference. And then Peterson also making the play on defense with a minute and 45 left. He was able to get an interception, and that gave the Wildcats their sixth victory, moving them to 6-3 as one game remains and its arch rival Lancaster. But with the win, the Wildcats getting their first winning season since 2005 already have clinched a playoff berth, and they would love nothing better than to complete this regular season unbeaten at Whitefield and knocking off their arch rival, the Gales, which is within reach. Bodie Smith added an 8-yard touchdown pass to Drayson Peterson in the second half as well. But Reynoldsburg had a 20-7 lead at halftime. But how about the Wildcats defense? Reynoldsburg had 180 total yards in the first half, only 61 the remaining two quarters. So congratulations to Coach Franks for getting the victory. So if you look at the playoff scenarios right now, in Division One, Region Three, Newark and Watkins Memorial both have clinched postseason berths. They are currently 13th and 15th in that region. Division Two, Region Seven, Licking Heights in at the moment, but they have not clinched. They are 15th, and they take on Zanesville this coming Friday. Division Three, Region 11, Licking Valley and Granville both have clinched playoff berths. Right now, Valley is at number 5 in that region, and Granville is at number 6, and that, again, many people feel, and I feel as well, that's the toughest region in all of Ohio high school football. It is going to be whoever comes out in that region. Of course, the favorite right now is Watterson. They've got a great chance at winning it all if you can get through that gauntlet over the next 4 weeks. Division 4, Region 15, Heath is currently 18th, and they take on Utica coming up this Friday. If they win, they have a shot. If they lose, they are officially out. Lakewood is right now 22nd, and it looks like they have been eliminated from postseason play. Division 5, Region 18, Johnstown has clinched. They are currently 9th. Utica is right now 15th, and Northridge is 16th. They both may win and get in, no question. If they both lose, there's still a shot that they will get into the playoffs. And Division 7, Region 27, Newark Catholic, currently 23rd. They have not been eliminated yet. They still have a chance to get in if they are able to upset Johnstown. If they do lose on Friday night, they will be officially out. But if they can get the victory, they would get in to the Division 7, Region 23 playoffs. So we should be well represented in the Licking County postseason play within both the Buckeye and Cardinal and Newark and the OCC Buckeye. It looks like 8 to 10 teams have a real good shot at getting into Week 11, but still one crazy Friday night remaining for all these ball clubs. We'll take a break, and we'll now talk a little Utica volleyball. I believe that's what we're going to do next, and you're listening to the Licking County Locker Room, live from Ship Brothers Brewing, right here on Kate 98.7.
Now, back to the Licking County Locker Room with Brian Mays at Ship Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
All right, let's talk Utica volleyball tonight as we get ready for them to enter postseason play tomorrow night. We first start and welcome in Utica volleyball coach Lisa Ritzer. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us. And overall, 12-10, 8-8 in the league. Your thoughts on how the ball club did this year?
I think we definitely made major improvements this year. I think last year we finished with 8 wins, so jumping up to 12 was big for us. Just coming together and playing as a team. We only had one senior this year, so we were young. And it's just building on that and furthering the program each year.
How is it when you want to, and I should have asked this, how long have you been the head coach there?
So this is my 5th year as the head coach.
When you're trying to start and build a program, and I think especially with volleyball, getting girls interested as soon as possible, what kind of goals did you have 5 years ago of what you wanted to see Utica at the high school level compete at from a volleyball standpoint?
Definitely we wanted to start at the youth level, and we really tried to get out there and make contact with the youth kids and trying to grow the program. Ultimately, you know, we're wanting to get back and competing for those district and regional level titles. They were there, you know, mid-2015 to 17, and we're just trying to get back in that realm.
It's a very challenging sport. You can watch it on TV, but I don't think it does it any justice of the speed you have to deal with, the amount of practice and work and what you have to do if you're trying to serve, if you're trying to return serve. I mean, I feel like it's one of the more challenging sports for a person, a young person, to really get involved with and stay with because of how challenging it is.
Definitely it's developmental. And you have to have those skill sets to be able to perform, and it's coordination, and it's speed, and it's, we work on speed and agility all the time, and it's having a solid core to be able to hit, just tons of coordination involved in volleyball, and then being able to read serves, and then just being able to spot serve. Yeah, there's a lot that goes into the game that I think just anybody watching it doesn't always know.
I stand right here because, you know, and you see it every 4 years, especially with the Olympics, and you see how talented they are, and just but I just can't even imagine how many times they've either served or, again, like I said, return to serve, set the ball, what have you. So for the girls that are getting started, if you would give one piece of advice that someone wanted to really be in volleyball, what would that be?
I think just being willing to continue to work hard, being able to be coached, and just continuing to try to build on skill sets.
So let's welcome in this lone senior. No pressure at all for your senior year to be the only one. Alexa Gosnell. Alexa, thank you for joining us. And what was it like being the only senior? Because they're looking up to you as the leader on this team.
Yeah, it was definitely change from last year because we had many other seniors. I just have to hold my players accountable and just be there for them as someone they can look up to.
So coach mentioned you improved in 4 wins from 8 to 12. How do you feel the season went?
I think it went pretty good. We were looking at a lot of wins this year, like coming off of last year, and I think we just did a really good job, like carrying in things that we needed to improve from last year and just like working on those and just honing in on those skills.
What do you work on in the off season to get ready for the next year?
We have a lot of workouts, just like Lisa said, to get stronger, and we do just like a lot of drills just to stay like in shape and stay, like she said, coordination is key. So we do a lot of drills to keep up with that.
And I know one thing that really has taken off. I have a friend whose daughter is in the travel leagues and things of that nature, but that seems like that has really exploded over the last several years. I went to an event at the Columbus Convention Center. I thought there were 400 teams in there. There very well might have been. So have you noticed that even in your short time here, this how much is the volleyball sport has exploded?
Yeah, it's really been a popular sport. I've played club since 7th grade. So I've been involved in just about everything volleyball since then.
What's the major difference between club and, you know, playing at the varsity level in high school?
You definitely see a lot of different, like, players from around the world and stuff. So you get a lot faster-paced games, and just you get to experience just a lot of, like different stuff. In high school, it's, you kind of just play like a slower game, but in club it's just really fast-paced, and you get to make a lot of like friends from other schools too.
All right, so here comes the media cynical side of me, because I know in certain sports they're not big fans of club and travel because there's a difference. Is it helpful for you as a coach to have this, the travel and the club stuff, explode, or can it be more challenging than helpful?
I definitely think it's a good thing. I would say you're right in that volleyball's definitely grown in the last however many years. But just the amount of reps that our kids are getting in the off season is huge. When a lot of us can't provide that for them, you know, in a school like Utica, we're relatively small, so we don't have like an auxiliary gym and things like that. So kids who are out playing club are getting those reps that we have to share gyms with our, like, our basketball coaches and things like that. So we don't always get gym time, but those kids are still playing, and they're seeing volleyball at a completely different level, which I think is great.
The LCL is no slouch for volleyball either. You've got a lot of good teams and good programs. I mean, how would you compare it? I know it's tough to say across the state, but at least within Central Ohio, I would think you would get you ready for tournament play of what you had to deal in week in and week out.
We always talk about that, that by far we play a really tough season in the LCL, and definitely I think it gets us ready for tournaments. Most of our games that we did lose, we lost in five sets. So it wasn't like people were coming in and beating us in three. Like, we were going the full extent of what we could go. And I think if you can compete at that level, then it just helps and drives what you need to do for tournaments.
Alexa, how is the confidence level you feel with the team? Because you've had a little bit of a layoff here before you get ready for the tournament game tomorrow night. Tournament match, I should get it right. So how you feel going into the tournament?
I think we're pretty confident. We just took down Valley in three sets on senior night. So I think we have a lot of confidence built up from this whole season, and we're ready to take on Northmore tomorrow.
So why do you love this sport?
I love this sport because I just have made like a lot of connections, and the energy is always so good between all the teams I've been on, and it's just like, it's honestly so relaxing just to come like after school and just practice with all my friends.
So it's relaxing to have a ball coming right at you at 100 miles an hour. You're telling me that's relaxing?
Sometimes.
Okay, more power to you. Is there a part of the sport that you like more than ever, serving, bumping, spiking, whatever it might be?
I like hitting a lot just because, like, I don't know, it's just fun to get momentum and just get really high and swing as hard as you can.
Since you're a senior, I can ask you this. How is it with the coach over here? How has she been for you?
She's been a lot of help. She's been my coach, obviously, the past 4 years. Mm-hmm. And so she's always, like, just knows, like, what I need and knows how to help me.
So I asked her why she loves the sport. So two-part, why do you love the sport and why do you love coaching the sport?
I love the sport just because it's constant movement. You always have to be ready for the next play. You can't dwell on the last play. And you've got to be able to move forward. In terms of coaching, I just really love to be involved with the kids. I like to see volleyball take off what it's doing right now, and continue to watch new players grow and develop. And you get to see them like Alexa. I saw her as a freshman, and I get to see her as a senior, which I think is phenomenal to watch the growth of players.
And it gets awfully loud. There's a lot of cheering and motivation. So is that really done to, like Coach mentioned, you've got to let that play go. You maybe want to celebrate it, but it's to just get you pumped up for the next point as much as anything?
Yeah. Yeah, we just use our energy and carry it on to the next points and through those matches.
When you see the run starting to have against you, because I believe you get two timeouts, you've got to be real careful in using those. I mean, so how do you kind of judge? Is it body language? Is it just maybe a player on the other side that just seems to have a hot serve? How do you kind of gauge, like, okay, I got to slow this down one way or another?
I would say each match is definitely different, one to the next. Sometimes you watch your own players and you think, okay, like, we just have to, like, take a timeout and regroup. Sometimes that happens early in a match, which you hate having to call a timeout at that point. A lot of times we try to save them till the end, so that you're shifting momentum. Like, your goal is to always try to shift momentum that might be starting, and trying to slow that down so you can hopefully get in the server's head or whatever the case may be to try to shift the point.
So help someone who is clueless in regard to this sport when the other team is getting ready to serve. Is it a, you've set up some type of signal to say how you want to return this, or how does that work?
Sometimes we run certain plays, and our coaches will call in a letter, and we set that person. That's really it. We'll call seams, so if the ball's on this side of the person, they take that ball, and so they know, like, which one's theirs to take.
But if the serve is on the back line or in the middle, do we know where we want to set that for, either on the left or the right side, depending on what hitter is where? Or
normally just,
I'm
like,
really trying to sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Normally just like your strongest hitter, someone you know that's like can just get the ball over and you guys can reset.
Is there, and I asked her this when we were waiting for the show to start, the difference between a power serve and a changeup serve? Because it seems like teams are never ready for that changeup serve. Is there one more useful than the other, or does it kind of depend on how the match is going and how the serve is going?
I would say it depends, too, on the strength of the player,
okay,
too, and what they feel most comfortable with as well. I would say that we're predominantly a strong serving team, and we get a lot of points that way. But I think I just let it, personally, I just let it be the comfort level of my players.
Of the player. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's one thing I know we can say sports get influenced from professionals to the amateur level of, you know, Steph Curry shooting these 35-foot threes and things of that nature. With power serves and things that you're seeing at the professional and Olympic level, does that sometimes impact the players as well? Like, they're feeling that, hey, this has worked at that level, I need to try it at this level?
You definitely see kids trying different things, which, you know, I think if you can master those things, great. I think at the high school level, you don't see it as much as you do maybe at the college level, as they're perfecting their games and really spending a lot more time in the gym. But we don't get probably a ton of the really powerful, like, top spin serves. We saw one, I think, the whole time in the LCL. That was probably the most powerful we've seen.
For tomorrow night, do you do a lot of scouting, or is it up to, hey, it's up to us to know if we're able to advance, or is there a combination there?
I'd say there's a combination. We watched some film. My assistant coach and I went and watched North Union play Northmore in the sectional final. But a lot of times it's just focusing on what we're doing on our side of the net, and I think as long as we're taking care of business on our side, then things will come.
As the senior for tomorrow night, what words of advice do you give to your youngsters? Because I'm sure there'll be some jitters getting ready for tournament play.
We just have to stay focused and keep our confidence that we brought from the season, and just play relaxed, because that's how we always play best.
One of the other things we also ask seniors is the legacy that you try to leave. I mean, everybody wants to win. We get that. But for you, for a program that coach is continually trying to build and we're seeing the steps getting done, what mark do you want to leave for the sophomores and juniors coming back next year?
I hope everyone just takes this season and has everything we've learned and improved and brings it into their next season so they can be even better.
That was a pretty good comment. I mean, how has her leadership been, in your opinion, Coach?
She's really stepped up. She's taken on a new role for her, and she's definitely led by example. And we have a lot of sophomores and juniors on the team, and they definitely look up to her. And, you know, she does the right things, and I think when it all comes down to it, that's the most important thing.
Well, and I think at a smaller school, like you mentioned, you kind of get under that microscope a little bit. Everyone wants to see what you do, how you act in practice, outside of practice. So were you okay with that responsibility going into your senior year?
Yeah, I was okay with it because I like to have that responsibility, and I love people to look up to me and think that I'm a good leader.
Well, it sounds like you've been a very good leader, so that's good. I always ask one question about officiating, too. Not to get anybody in trouble here, but if, you know, a ball is hit and it's very close to being out or in and the call doesn't go your way, is it, again, one of those situations where because you have to get so many points, you really have to let it go and just kind of focus on the next one, or can you let it go? I'm going to start with you first, because you're kind of hiding on this a little bit, Alexa.
Sometimes it can be in crucial moments that don't really go our way, but we just have to let that go and know that we can get the next point.
Is that something you talk about when you guys get together in the huddle after the point? Just say, let it go, let it go?
Yep.
Coach, how's it for you?
I think you try to do what you can in the moment. And then you have to be able to move forward. Like, if you're not going to get what you want, you've got to be able to let that stuff slide and be able to move forward, or you're going to continue to dwell.
And like you said, adversity can come very quickly in this sport and in a match. I mean, you could get behind quickly in a game or down two games to none. So it really is, you got to keep looking ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. One thing you want to focus on for tomorrow night's tournament game?
I think just We have to be able to bring the energy and just play our game. And what we've trained all season to be is what we have to be tomorrow.
Congratulations on a great season, on a winning season, and good luck tomorrow night in tournament play again. 6 p.m. tomorrow night at Northmore.
At North Union.
North Union. North Union. Hey, if I put my glasses on, that's what it would say, North Union. 6 p.m. In any event, thank you so much. Congratulations and best of luck tomorrow night.
Thanks for having us.
We will talk Utica football next as you're listening to the Licking County Locker Room live from Ship Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
This is the Licking County Locker Room Show on WCLT, W254-CT Newark, Kate 98.7.
The Coyote NS tractor has everything you need to get the job done right without all the extras.
So maybe I can use my real voice now?
No.
Never mind. The Coyote NS tractor is a no-nonsense workhorse that doesn't rely on flashy displays to prove its worth.
You, still gotta do the thing.
Oh, yeah. Coyote. We dig dirt.
Visit your Coyote dealer, Buckeye Valley Equipment, 3570 National Road in Hebron, or online at buckeyevalleyequipment.com.
Licking Memorial Health System's mission to improve the health of the community extends above and beyond providing quality health care services to Licking County residents. We value service and philanthropy and support local organizations that uplift and strengthen the entire community. LMHS is committed to supporting community benefits in arts and culture, housing and economic improvement, youth activities, social service organizations, higher education, and community service.
Everyone says it's the journey that matters. Not so at Ship Brothers Brewing. Ship Brothers is a destination in the heart of downtown Newark that is so spectacular, there's nothing like it anywhere. Come aboard to experience incredible appetizers, outstanding burgers and sandwiches, and the one-of-a-kind beer wall. What? That's right. Don't wait on a bartender anymore. Head to the beer wall and design your own tasting flight. Ship Brothers Brewing, a one-of-a-kind sensory destination.
When getting the job done right is job one, you need construction equipment that's built right. From compact track loaders to the world's number one selling compact excavator, the Kubota construction lineup features durable Kubota engines, more comfort, and the versatility to do it all and do it right. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Visit Lashley Tractor Sales in Zanesville, Quaker City, St. Clairsville, and Marietta, or online at LashleyTractor.com.
Turn your waste into a win. With Win Waste Innovations as your trash and recycling provider, your garbage will be handled locally, reliably, and sustainably at every step. Formerly Waste Away in Atkins Disposal, the Win Waste Innovations team in Heath is dedicated to our community and provides custom solutions for homes and businesses across Central Ohio, all backed by a 7-day-a-week customer service team. Visit win-waste.com or call 1-866-WIN-WASTE.
Hot shingles need nailed? We admit that our advertising is raising a few eyebrows, but that's the point. At Mike's Roofing, we want you to think about your roof, your windows, and your siding. Paying attention to these things can make a big difference in the value of your home. A small change today can pay for itself in energy savings tomorrow. Mike's Roofing is Licking County proud, voted by their customers to pass 4 years the best of the best. Best roofer, cider, and window company. Hot shingles need nailed? Mikesroofing.net.
Tank top, sweater, raincoat, snow parka. Which was it this morning when you left home? Hi, Chase Houston of Houston Plumbing and Heating. Ohio weather isn't predictable, but one thing sure is, York and Houston. For comfort you can count on year-round, call us today for a free estimate on an energy-efficient York heating and cooling system. When the temperature outside is up and down, York and Houston Plumbing and Heating will keep your inside cozy and comfy. Call us today at 740-763-3961. One call does it all. Ohio license number 25394.
Hi, this is Chris from KSEP Service Center. At KSEP, we're in it for the long haul. And what that means is we've invested in the tools, training, and equipment. So we're not concerned with trying to make something work on our end because we're under-equipped. We have the things that are needed to fix your car properly the first time and not perform guesswork. We make sure that our people understand that service literally is our middle name. KSEP Service Center, located in Johnstown, Granville, and online at k-seps.com.
KSEP's quality you can trust.
Let's get back to the Licking County Locker Room with Brian Mays at Ship Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
And now let's talk some Utica football. First, we bring in head coach Charlie Rowley. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. And 4-5 mark heading into the regular season finale at Heath. It was a gauntlet of a non-conference schedule. You guys battled through, got on a roll, and great ball game last week against Johnstown, not ending up the way you wanted to. But I know you were proud of your ball club, great atmosphere in the stands as well. So let's just start first, how you feel this team is going into that Week 10 matchup with the Dawgs.
Yeah, big week for us, like every week is. Like you mentioned, real happy with the way our team played last week. Didn't get the result we wanted, but our kids played exceptionally hard and proud of them for that. So I love the way that our team, every single week, the way they prepare, the way they practice. So, just proud of what we're doing. Like I said, big one this week that we got to get ready for to close out the regular season and hopefully beyond that for us. So,
you have done a great job in building this program, and the one thing I've heard from a couple of other coaches is if you take Utica lightly, you're going to be in trouble. I mean, you're bringing your game every week. Every game has been a challenge, win or lose for the most part, and the guys seem to have really bought into what you and the coaching staff are trying to accomplish. That's not the easiest thing to do in this day and age, but it seems like the kids are all in.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and it's been a process for us. This is year 7 for us as a staff, so happy with the what we've been able to do. Obviously, we still want to accomplish some things and keep growing as a program, but ultimately, it's our players, and like you said, they're buying into what we are about, and they're the reason that we're going to have any success. So we know who we are. We want to be a physical team, a team that plays with great effort, flies around on the football field, has fun. We want to be a team that has fun. And just play to, as we've talked a lot about this year, playing to our standard, regardless of the opponent, playing the best that we can play. And bottom line, that comes down to our kids. Very pleased and happy with our kids and how they've kind of bought into the message. I think the coaches sell the vision, but the players carry that out, and they've done a great job.
Was there any concern when you had that tough non-conference and you had a couple of games, you're on a little bit of a losing streak? Because sometimes it can go the other way. But in just reading a couple of quotes from you, one, you didn't seem to have that concern. Like, we're going to be fine. We'll turn this around. Don't you worry. But also, you must have saw something from the players, too, saying, okay, we're going to be okay through this.
Yeah, we knew we had a tough stretch, and it's tough every week. You can't take any week lightly. But, starting off 1-4, we knew we had a very tough, very good non-conference schedule. Our kids understood that. And, you know, we're not trying to hide things from them, but they understood. And, over the last few years, I've said it every year, our kids do a great job of bouncing back, putting together good weeks of practice. And that was the same this year. So, but obviously we went out and we scheduled a few tougher games. And kind of from my viewpoint is, if we want to get to where we want to get to as a program, those are games that we got to start playing. If we want to get into the playoffs, win some playoff games, we need to start competing against those kind of teams. So, yeah, it was tough. The record maybe not where we want it to be, but I think those early games prepared us for this second half run of the season.
Let's bring in one of your senior standouts, Gavin Tussey. Gavin, thank you so much for joining us. And you heard Coach talk about it. You've been in this program, and you've seen it get better year in and year out. So as you wind things down a little bit, how do you feel about, one, your involvement into it, and two, where this program could be a couple years from now?
Like Coach said, you just got to buy in. You know, he sells the vision. We just got to be the person that, be the people that buy into what he's saying, and we just move forward day in and day out. We got to keep on grinding, you know, in the weight room, on the field. Everything that he says, we just got to put into our mind that it's the right thing to do. With my involvement, I mean, I feel like I've been a big part. My senior class has been a big part of the vision. I mean, we pushed forward. Same with the graduating class last year. As we had a good season last year, and that kind of moved this team forward, and I feel like that's what helped us.
And you talked about your senior class, because you could see it. Like, okay, we'll use the vision analogy here, and it can be tough for a 15, 16, 17-year-old to really see the vision sometimes if you're not getting those victories. So did you guys see things in practice or how you were competing in games? Like, this is going to work if we're all in.
I mean, we're great at watching film the next day, no matter win or lose. We could lose by 50 points, and we're still going to find, you know, things that happened well and things that didn't happen well, things we need to work on. The film study helps us week through week, and I feel like that's what helps us really improve is, you know, we understand that, you know, the team across from us may be way better than we are, but we're still going to get something out of it.
And you're not losing by 50 anymore. I mean,
no. You
have made that change, and you've had some historic victories over the last couple of years. And if you're able to get back-to-back postseason bursts with the schedule you've had this year, I think that would be a tremendous feather in you and the seniors' class for getting that done.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we asked Alexa, who is devouring her food as we speak, the commitment that you have to have in volleyball. It's no secret you have to have that in football, too, because a lot of people think it's weight room, you do a little bit of scouting, you get ready for Friday night. But you talk about film, you talk about preparation, all the things that lead into Friday night. I mean, how, you know, did you even think when you started football that it would be have to have this type of commitment to be successful?
Absolutely not. You know, I played it having fun, you know, and that's what I still do. I still have fun, but I have a great amount of commitment for the team and everyone around me and what I do as a player. I mean, you know, my preparation, whether it's, you know, at home, what I'm eating or what I'm drinking, you know, no pop, stuff like that. You just got to be prepared. And watching film, our whole team watches film amazingly. I mean, we come back with great scouting reports, and I just can't be thankful enough for that.
You hear him talk. What has he meant to this program, Coach?
Yeah, Gavin's a great leader on our team. He's a vocal leader. He does things the right way. He practices hard every single day. So just a great leader by example, and also vocally, he does what is asked of him, what is expected of him, and beyond. So, and we have many seniors like that. I'm really proud of our senior class and the leadership that they demonstrate. But Gavin is just every day, he is ready to go. He's intense. Doesn't take plays off. I mean, he's getting after it every day in practice. And you know, we talk about being, I want a senior-led team. I've said that phrase often. And these guys set the tone. When your seniors are doing those things, that really just kind of builds through your program. And ultimately, I think, is how we've been able to create success in our program over the years, is our seniors as they come up, setting that example and setting that tone each year.
So you kind of understood what was expected of you after last season to be a senior from what that senior class left behind you. And is that part of what the legacy you want to leave to the sophomores and juniors and even the young ones that are standing along the fence watching you? Because you're their heroes at the moment. It's not an NFL player. It's not a college player. They're watching Gavin to see what he's going to do. So you enjoy that role?
Oh, 100%. You know, like they left, the seniors last year left a great example of what we got to be because they were leaders on and off the field. I mean, they were always there for the young guys. I mean, I was strictly defense last year. Coach came and talked to me, said, you know, we're going to need you on the offensive side of the ball. I said, good, coach, put me there, wherever you want. I mean, I'm willing to help the team in the long run rather than trying to get short-term success.
And does it help going offense when you got a guy like Hayden?
Oh, 100%. Love that guy.
I mean, his numbers have been great, but he just seems to have that leadership quality as well, and whatever the team needs, if it's throwing the ball, if it's running the ball, whatever the case may be. So, I mean, how's it been like working with him on the offensive side?
I mean, talking about a great quarterback, he's my best friend also, so I'm going to be a little biased.
Okay.
But yeah, he's an amazing quarterback. I mean, he'll find you when he needs to, and if it's not there, he's going to take off and run, you know, no matter what. He's going to get some yards. We've tried to incorporate some different schemes in our offense, and I feel like he's taken that well. There's a lot of different stuff that he has to remember, a lot of different motions, stuff like that, but he took it easily this year.
And it's always going to be the spotlight position coach. So how have you seen him evolve in it? Because he had a very good, strong junior season as well, but he has ramped it up one more notch, if not two notches, in his senior campaign.
Yeah, Hayden's done a great job in our system. He's what we want. He's a leader just like Gavin. These guys set the tone, again, just both by example and verbally. We do ask a lot of our quarterback as far as, like Gavin mentioned, scheme and reads. There's a lot going on, and I feel like there's not anything that we can't give him. He can handle all of it. So just does a great job of running the offense. We've asked him to run the ball a little bit more this year. He's got quite a bit more carries than he would have last year. Just like Gavin, and all of our players, they're going to do what's asked. Hayden played against Johnstown. He played every snap of defense last week. And he hasn't played a ton of defense this year. Gavin is a very athletic playmaker kid for us, but he's been doing a great job blocking the last few weeks. He's kind of really taken pride in that role we've asked him to do. And again, I would just highlight that is our team. Guys who are great teammates, willing to do whatever's asked and whatever's needed.
I'm very excited because I'm old school, and it seems like offensively, ball control, taking time off the clock, not this speed game where we can see if we can go down the field in 70 yards in four plays. It seems like we're going back to that a little bit of using our weapons as best we can on the offensive side of the ball, but more of controlling it and obviously what you can do up front. Am I noticing this little bit change? Because I have to be honest, I haven't seen the triple I. I've seen it more this year than probably the past 4 years, and that's just one example. But is it more like, hey, let's hold on this ball a little bit and make the defense work a little bit more?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, team by team is different. For us, that's a big part of what we are and who we are. I mean, we want to score points. We want big plays, and we have those. But again, we know who we are. We know our system. We're going to be a physical team that we think will play really good defense and take care of the football and offense. And for our success, that's a big part of our philosophy. Again, we want to stretch the field side to side. We want to stretch the field vertically. We do think we can make those big plays, but ultimately, we are definitely believers in taking care of the football, possessing the ball, and playing solid defense.
So let me contradict myself, since you can go and catch the ball. I mean, do you like the deep ball and say, hey, I love the one-on-one opportunities, or do you enjoy those short slant passes where you might be able to juke somebody and leave him there on the field for a bit? This is where you can get cocky. It's okay.
Definitely the long passes. I mean, I'll go up to coach on the sideline and be like, you know, this play I was wide open, so we should look back at it. But no, without a doubt. Either way, I'm happy. You know, like there's routes that are short and sweet, but you know, it gets a first down on third down.
Yeah,
that's what makes the game. You know, you just gotta keep moving forward.
What has he been like as a coach for you? And again, you're a senior, so he can't have you run too much now. But what's you've been able to see the evolution of his program, really, you know, in your time there. So what's it been like?
He's a great role model for players. You know, he does what he says he's gonna do, and he shows it. His scheme, like coaching wise, is amazing. I mean, he knows how to coach a football team. He knows how to get to the young players' minds, and he just knows how to get you to buy into what he's selling, and that's the big part of it.
Absolutely. All right, so it's week 10. You've got Heath again, two teams that are 4-5. You and Heath are much better than their record would indicate. They know they have to win to get in. You might be able to go either way, but you want this win badly. So talk about your matchup with the Bulldogs on Friday night.
They're a great team. You know, obviously, like us, like you said, the record doesn't define anything, but they got players. They got this is probably the healthiest they've been all season, and I feel like it's going to be a great game out there when we go play them.
Coach, your thoughts on the Dogs?
Yeah, going to be a great matchup. They are obviously a very proud program. Gavin mentioned, I think they're getting healthy. You know, they've got a great running back, linebacker, and Corbett. They got some guys who can fly around, be athletic. I think they're up front. They got some guys with speed. So It'll be an exciting week. I'm almost treating this. I told the guys today, this is basically a playoff game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's for both sides. They obviously need to win to continue, and it's only going to help us if we do.
Yes,
so, yeah. I mean, just a good LCL battle. Proud to be able to be playing for a game in Week 10 that means so much at this point. And it's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy by any means. We've got to have a great week of practice. We've got to show up Friday. And as I've already said, we've got to play to our standard this week.
And you took the words out of my mouth. To have something to play for in Week 10, I just think is huge. And sure, you'd love to have knocked off Johnstown last week and maybe won the league outright. But to, again, have back-to-back postseason bursts, to get to 500 after a 1-4 start, again, I guess this is for both of you. It just would, I think, really have a stepping stone, not just into the postseason, but for next year, what you want to leave and what coach wants to build on. So whoever wants to take it first.
Yeah, there's numerous reasons to be excited for this week. You mentioned 500, obviously playoffs. My message today to our guys was, the biggest reason in my mind is it's another opportunity that we get to go play together as a team. And, you know, I don't know if guys ever understand until you're done, but your football days are limited. And a lot of good reasons to be motivated this week, but ultimately it's one more opportunity, and we got to make sure we do not waste these opportunities because your football days are numbered.
Gavin?
You know, last week, senior night, kind of a sad night for all of us, but I feel like having another game, like Coach said, it's a great opportunity. You know, we get to go out there and play another game, even in this season, not even postseason yet, as we're treating as a postseason game, but it's still this season. You know, getting back to 500 would be amazing, and just overall playing another game with my best friends is nothing more than you can ask for.
I think that sums it up perfectly. Guys, appreciate your time tonight. Again, it's been a great season and a great run the second half of the year. Good luck against Heath Friday night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll wrap this edition up as you're listening to the Licking County Locker Room live from Ship Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
This is the Licking County Locker Room live at Ship Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
And again, your Week 10 schedule, LCL Cardinal. Newark Catholic plays at Johnstown. If the Johnnies win, they will capture the league title outright. Utica will be at Heath. Both teams trying to finish at 500 in postseason play. Northridge on the road. They go to Lakewood to take on the Lancers. LCL Buckeye, Mount Vernon plays at Granville. Licking Heights will entertain Zanesville, and we'll have Licking Valley entertaining Watkins. If Valley wins, they're the league champ outright. We'll have it from Randy Boffman Stadium with the pregame at 6:45 and the live kickoff at 7 p.m. And the OCC Buckeye, arch rivals, getting together at Whitefield with the Newark Wildcats looking to move to 7-3 on the season, entertaining the Golden Gales of Lancaster, and then the postseason is off and running. That'll do it for this edition of the Licking County Locker Room from Ship Brothers Brewing. Thanks to CJ, as always, for a great job here. This is Brian Mays. Have a great Monday evening, everybody. You're listening to the Licking County Locker Room live from Ship Brothers Brewing right here on Kate 98.7.
This has been the Licking County Locker Room on Kate 98.7. Tonight's show was brought to you by Shamrock Printing, Licking Memorial Health Systems, Par Excellence STEM Academy, Buckeye Valley Equipment, Lashley Tractor Sales, Desserts Bakery, Wright Brothers Power Equipment, and Ship Brothers Brewing.